Yo, yo, what's up, world? It's your boy Coop. Welcome back to the Coop Side Podcast, hosted by your boy. Today, I got four guests with me. I got Andre Rashad, I got Levi Huron, JLB Jesus, the producer, and I got Silky. Silky, one of the artists, on the track as well. I'm coming to you guys to talk to you guys about their new release album that they just dropped called Two Goats. I probably said it wrong, but Andre told me the other day it's Dos. What is it, Dre?
It's a Dos Cabras Dos.
There you go. I ain't gonna repeat it because I'm gonna fuck it up. So I'm gonna.
No, you're good, bro. It's two goes two in Spanish, bro.
So I'm gonna let these boys get into it and let y'all hear some of their intake about their album and let y'all know hear more about them. So I'm gonna start with Andre. Andre the artist. Andre, what's good, baby?
Yes, sir. Coop, what's good, bro?
Good. Ain't much, bro. Long day. Just getting to it. Had to get you on the pod. We talked about it, so it's time for me to get you on there. I'm glad you got the team with you and everybody that was a part of the album on here with you.
I had you, bro. This is a special event, especially when we got you in the room.
Hey, you better stop boosting me, man. So Dre, what got you? What you think about this project you just did?
I'm gonna be honest with you, Coop. I think this is the best collective project I've ever put together. So just to give you some background, when I was in Norfolk State, I was one of the engineers in the studio. So it's quite a few group projects I've put together. Ones that weren't mine though, but it's quite a few group projects I've put together with just bands in the area, engineering for them as an engineer, singing background vocals, maybe dropping a verse or two, but as a collective, bro, I think this is the most efficient and talented team I've probably ever worked with. And I'm just praying we keep going.
Hey, that's the only way to think, bro. It's only up, bro. It's only up. And I got a chance. I got a chance to listen to the whole album multiple times. And
it's fire. Oh, geez.
It's fire. It's fire.
Yes, sir.
You know what I mean? So I got my favorite tracks and all that. But I'm going to get y'all out the way first before I take over the floor and let y'all start singing all y'all shit. Levi, what's up, my guy?
What's good, man? What's good with you?
I ain't doing much, man. I see you on this album exclusively. You and Dre on here exclusively, man. You got some hard shit in there. You come from Sherrill Road. I hear some of the tracks. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
That boy said he gonna mention that.
Hey, man, I'm just true to my soil, that's all. But, yeah, I mean, overall, I've been performing since I was 17. I started performing, doing spoken word, performance poetry. But I've been writing raps and writing songs since I was 15. So, you know, I managed to be able to put out my first solo project last year, as well as me and Dre dropping the first installment of Two Goats. So
that's Dos Cabras Uno.
Indeed.
So, yes, sir.
So to be able to drop the second installment, you know, a year after the fact, it's a blessing. And it's been dope. This whole 9-10 months we've been working on this thing, man, it's just been really dope. And it's like I told the guys the other day, you know, a lot of stuff that I work on as far as with my art is always stuff that I feel like I could do better and stuff that I want to redo. But this was the first project, not only that I've been a part of, that I've been on, that I can genuinely say that I'm fully satisfied. You know, like I listened to it and, you know, personally, as someone who was a part of the creation process, there might be little small, you know, little qualms that I have here and there, but it's really just petty shit because overall the tape is fire. I love every song. Yeah, man, just this whole process and this whole tape has just been really dope to put together. So I'm enjoying it and soaking it all in right now.
As you should. So, Silky, I'm gonna get to you now, Silky. Then I get to the producer. Cause the producer, I got some things to say about the producer.
I bet.
So Silky, tell me a little bit about yourself, introduce yourself.
Oh man, you already know my name's Silky, man. I actually grew up with Levi and Andre Rashad. Like, we've known each other since we was kids, man. And, you know, they always been musically inclined. And like, you know, I always had a little something when it came to poetry. So Andre Rashad and, you know, and Jobe Jesus and Levi, you know, they all got on me, told me to hop on it. You know, I had to get people a little something.
Yeah.
A little something. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's pretty much it, man.
Back there. Well, before I get to you, Jobe, tell me about the interlude, the Silky's interlude. Tell me the story behind that.
So, oh, so it's crazy. So, like, my inspiration on that, I was thinking like Kendrick Lamar's Section 80. You know how he had like those little brief skits in there.
Yeah.
Like the dude talking with the fire, but like, you know, just like you can hear the fire crackling behind and whatnot. And I was trying to imagine like myself talking to like a little homie, like, you know, just some little dude who needs some sort of advice.
Got it.
Some sort of guidance, you feel mm-hmm. me? And I was just trying to like, and while I was recording it, I imagined myself like talking, like looking down at the little homie, talking straight to him and making sure he understood and heard every word I told him.
That's dope. Well, I'm glad you on the album. Glad to have you on the pod, man. Appreciate you for joining.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Now let's get to this producer. Because this producer took me for a loop and I did not know. But just talking to him and picking his brain, I just felt like he knew what he was doing. He got his heart into something he was doing, just like y'all guys. But it was the name for me.
It's a few stories behind that.
Yeah, so we're going to get further into it. So right now, to the front of this classroom, Jobe Jesus, what's up?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Coop?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm good.
So tell me how you got into producing, and how was this producing this album for you?
Well, as far as getting into producing, I came up with guitar first. I was just wanting to be a guitar player. Started playing guitar at 11, and then was, you know, only doing like classic rock, and then gradually going to metal, and then started expanding to other genres, and then I eventually fell in love with hip hop to the point where I was like, oh, I want to know how to do that. I don't want to just do the guitar on the tracks. I want to make the whole track for the artist, and I want to not only do that, but try to figure out what makes a producer, not a beat maker. Like, how do I find the artist's vision and help them bring that to life? Best way I can. Got you.
That ain't bad at all. You got a good group with you. Y'all say sound like y'all got it out the mud together. So it's only right y'all be here right now with it.
Oh yes, sir.
Thanks, bro.
That's big time. So Drake, let's talk about some of your influences. What influenced your style of rap, and what gives you the motivation to keep going?
Oh, you already know, bro. Well, it's a cold world, first off. Shout out to J. Cole and Dreamville, bro. That's my biggest influence. But I'm going to be honest with you, Coop, especially for this project specifically, I'll say what really influenced the bars was I got a lot of background with everybody in the room. You know what I'm saying? I went to high school with all of them. Well, Levi, rest in peace, Jafeebus High School Windows. He went to Phoebus. But a lot of background with us, a lot of history, so we all witnessed each other's struggle. I'll let us all maybe expound upon some of those struggles. But a few of us in here, three of us lost our fathers, you know what I'm saying? So we relating on those kind of tips. A lot of us been through financial struggles, you know, homeless struggles, things of that sort. So us being so close, I think it was easy to be more vulnerable on the track. It was easier for me to explore that J. Cole type of pen. One thing I admire about J. Cole and Kendrick is they'll tell you their whole life on the track and not care about it because they know it's going to inspire somebody. And I used to be ashamed of that. Like, I didn't want people to know some of the struggles I went through because they would think less of me. But I will say being with this group inspired me to overcome that fear. And last album, too, of course. But especially on this one, it inspired me to overcome that fear and then talk about things like tracks like PTSD, really paint those pictures of what we really go through every day. You know what I'm saying?
Facts. And PTSD is actually one of my favorite tracks. I got this right here written
down. That's because you're a real one, bro. You got the ear, bro.
It's a couple of them. I got about 10. The ones that I done replaced, it's five. So I have five. I know when I get in the car, I can pop that joint on and get my day started. gets messing all popped up.
Messing you know with Coop, I mean? You about to go platinum off being on Coop Pod.
Hey, I hope so, nigga. Get me up out there. I'm trying.
Yes, sir.
Levi, talk to me, man. What's some of your influences, bro?
Yeah, I mean, overall, my biggest influences have been, first off, Kendrick Lamar, Section 80, the Overly Dedicated mixtape. Those Jones got me through my last year. They got me through my last 2-3 years of high school, and I put that on right hand on everything. But yeah, other than Kendrick, you know, I listen to like a lot of Wale. I listen to Currency. I really fuck with the way Currency flows and you know, his cadences. But yeah, as far as like for this album, it's weird because just to give background, because you know, like Dre said, we've all, you know, been around for the majority of, if not all of, each other's struggles. Last year, I had gone in. The tape we dropped last year was almost kind of like a just in case kind of thing, because at the time, I was dealing with my health. I had a heart transplant back in 2018. So around this time last year, or in the beginning of last year, rather, I was having some health issues. And it was really just like, you know, I had faith that, you know, I would pull through and I'd be straight. But it was really just in the back of my head. It was like, man, if this shit go left, I need to put something out, you know, for posterity, something that, so that, you know, one way or another, if I don't make it through this, you know, I'll still be able to live on some way and have something for
facts. Yeah. I respect that, bro.
Yeah. So it was like, for that, I really just, you know, especially with the last tape, it was really just me putting the last couple years into perspective and trying to explain what I've been dealing with. And for this tape, this time around, I took it a little lighter just because, you know, like I said, last year, the tape we dropped, that was really just me, you know, venting and putting everything out on Front Street.
Grateful to be here.
Yeah.
Facts.
So, yeah, now that, you know, this time around, I'm just happy to be here and happy to be able to still do what I love. So, you know, like, you know, on tracks like PTSD and Successful or Not, you know, and even on, you know, on Make Away on my solo joint on the tape, I try to you know, put some golden nuggets there and leave some wisdom and, you know, try to, you know, let people know I'm still woke, for lack of a better word or whatever.
Yeah.
But
I'm still woke.
But it's like, at the same time, it's like I said, now that I've had that phase of the, I don't know how this gonna go, so let me just do this just in case. Like Dre said, you know, I'm grateful to be here now. So now it's just, this tape was more so just me talking my shit.
Yeah, as sometimes you gotta do that. Sometimes you gotta, hey, talk your shit. It took y'all to let go of that vulnerability that y'all was feeling to feel like this when y'all was doing this album.
Yeah.
No, That's real.
Exactly.
And just to give Levi his flowers, I'll tell you, Coop, when Levi was in the hospital, you know, after the heart transplant, when we dropped the first two goats, it was him that inspired it, because bro, we recorded that whole tape in 3 days.
And that's crazy.
It's crazy. But what inspired it was him kind of putting that urgency to us, him kind of hitting us up saying like, yo, I don't know if I have long left. And we like, bro, stop that. But then when it really hit you, we like, oh, we got to make something just in case. So when we did that and it turned into more than what we ever thought it would be, it was only right that we came back around for a second time with a lighter heart this time. And then, of course, shout out to, you know, Jailbait.
yeah.
he came through with the fire. So, yes, yeah, bro. I just had to give him his flowers, because I will say, when we put together and came up with the name, of course, that was his put together. But without the sense of urgency from him being sick, we probably never would have put that tape out.
Okay. That makes sense. I respect that, bro. I'm glad you beat that fight, but you still here with us today.
Yes, sir.
Hell yeah.
That's a fucking blessing. It's a blessing, bro.
Mm-hmm. That's a big blessing.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. And I before I get to Silky, I keep hearing Kendrick Lamar and J. Cole. So right now, y'all 2 for 2, because them two are my favorite artists.
I told you, Coop, you got the ear. You got the ear, Coop.
Yeah, I like to hear shit that makes sense to me, that tell me a story. The rah-rah shit is cool. It's cool. But give me something that's going to tell a story. Give me something that's going to make sense to the audience that we can put in perspective. And I would have never knew that about you, Levi, if you wouldn't have shared that with us.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, just something to, you know, kind of put it into perspective, because it's kind of something I had to think about myself, you know, because I didn't really think about it until a couple of days ago, how, you know, this all came together. So, yeah.
That's big time, man. Keep going, man. That's all I can say. Keep fucking going, bro.
Oh, yeah. Got no choice, man. I'm still here, so I gotta keep going.
Yeah, we can keep going.
Yes, sir. So, Silky, talk to me, Silky. Give me some of your influences that made you get into the game.
To be honest with you, my major influences starts off, of course, it gotta be 3 for 3.
J. Cole, sir.
Kendrick. Of course, Wale, you know, that you know, Wale really brought poetry.
Facts though. Shout out to
him. He really made poetry pop for a lot of people. Honestly speaking, Levi and his moms, when we was kids, that she used to hold these poetry workshops for the community, right?
Word. Shout out Miss St. Clair.
I know.
Oh crazy. Yeah. Without your mom, we used to be in there with the poetry.
But like she used to hold those workshops, and like, you know, it used to be packed low key. Me and my moms used to go, and like, just that really triggered, you know. That really triggered something back then. And then over the years, I used to see Levi do his poetry thing. And like, it just kept on motivating me and encouraging me to do more, a little bit more and more. And then, you know, Two Ghosts 2 come. Levi hit me up. Andre Rashad hit me up. Like, you know, hop on it. You know, say what you got to say. And here we are.
Got you. Fire. That's fire.
Yeah.
Got you. So jailbait, the man behind the ear, the man behind the ear and the tunes, man. What you got? What's your biggest influence?
Well, so I mentioned the rock and metal roots, and that's always kind of there in the background. But a lot, like, as far as like, once when I got into hip hop, like real, like every producer says Dr. Dre and Timbaland, because it just makes sense. Like, if you don't say those two, then you're silly.
Then you're cheating.
Yeah. Right, so, of course, them two, but also like Kanye. Like, it's amazing how, like, Kanye, yes, as an artist, but even more so him as a producer.
Oh, absolutely. More as a producer.
Facts.
He would, and it was completely 180 for, like, my opinion on him, too. I hated Kanye, like, until, like, 2014, and then I just suddenly realized, oh, he is a genius. Like, he's right about himself. So Kanye is a big one. There's this newer producer, relatively newer, Kenny Beats, who I like. I can't go a day without watching some video of his, of him, like, doing his live stream and kind of teaching, you know, his fan base. And so he's a huge influence for me too. Just I don't know. I find inspiration in just weird places you wouldn't.
Facts. Yeah, like, that's a fact.
they'll tell you. It might just come from a sentence they say. It might not even be something musically related, but like,
I'm gonna tell you, man, and I'm gonna let him tell his own story when it comes to Alfredo sauce. But weird places is facts. Like, this man will watch a series on TV and be like, "All right, y'all, I want to make a beat based off of the series I just watched."
Pull the crazy inspiration from that joke.
And we're like that, and you know, of course, I like his method, because producers I've worked with in the past, shout out to some producers I worked with in the past. We'll talk about them later, but. You know, it's a method of, like you said, a beat maker, where they'll just send you a beat and, you know, it's up to you to do what you want to do with it. And then me being a co-producer myself, I'm used to either just making beats and just going with it. But he has an entirely different creative process that I think we got to get it on video at some point, just so some people can learn from it. It reminds me of a Pharrell kind of process. I'm for real, bro. I'm telling you, it's a different type of process, bro. Like, he made the beats backwards, and it's beautiful. It's beautiful, bro.
Sometimes you need that diversity, though. Sometimes you need that diversity to bring that all that creativity out you.
Facts.
You can't beat it. So yeah, I want to get into the album. So since I got Jail Bait at the front of the line, we can get right into Alfredo sauce.
Oh, jeez.
So tell me, how did you come up with the Alfredo sauce track and the beat behind it? Because you told me in passing a little bit that you was watching the Italian what, movies and videos?
Yeah, so I knew I wanted the opening track to feel like a mafia vibe. So, and then I was like thinking about it. I was like, how do you get that emotion? Like, how do you, as a producer or like as a musician, make it sound like a mafia? Like, what does that even feel like? So I started watching just hella mafia movies and like Goodfellas and like Departed. And then I really got into The Sopranos. Like I watched that whole series while I was working on that track, like from all six seasons. By the time I was done with Sopranos, I was like, okay, I'm ready to finish this beat.
That is crazy to me, bro.
And I was like, also like looking into like Sicilian, like Italian, like classical music, like just I'm trying to understand the characteristics behind it. Like,
you really study what you do.
Yeah, exactly.
Bro, that's why I said, bro, we got to get that process on tape, bro. It's something crazy.
Yeah, you need to record that. You need to record that. Sit the camera up and just get in your zone and lock in and let the camera just catch it, the eye in the sky.
Yeah, get a scenario where I'm not even aware the camera's rolling. So I'm
facts. That's how you got to do it. That's how you make your best videos.
I concur.
Yeah,
I concur.
Yeah, that one was very, I like really, probably more than any other beat I've worked on, like I really tried to dive into like understanding like Italian, like even culture. Like I was listening to like the Godfather soundtrack and like.
And it became top two, bro.
Yeah.
It became top two. Legit.
Crazy. So the next track, another one of my favorites, Credit Score. I'm going to let you go on about this one, you guys.
Oh man.
Talk, Levi.
So it's weird for me because Credit Score out of the 10 tracks, Credit Score was the one that we all heard, or I'll put it this way, it's the one that I heard the most because that was the single that we dropped. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm always on the fence. Just because it's like because you hear it all the time, it's like I started to kind of like, all right, and like all 9 other songs more than that one. But yeah. after we dropped the tape and I like made myself listen to all 10, including that one, and like to have the full thing, I was like, okay, yeah, no, I like that song all over again.
Facts. So, and I can understand that because when that was the first track that Dre and JLB let me listen to. So when I listened to the album and I got to that song, I was still rocking off that song that I had heard when they first had let me hear it when I checked their Spotify out.
Yes, sir.
So I definitely can understand where you're coming from when you say you listen to it straight through. So we right there with each other on that one.
Yeah. So it's like, as far as with, you know, how the song actually came together, it was us more so trying to figure out how to talk about, you know, finances and stuff like that in a way that's different from what we hear. Because, you know, niggas always get on the track and talk about, you know, best they have with getting their money or, you know, and stuff like that. But it's like a lot of people, at least I don't hear a lot of artists talk about like that in between where it's like, you know, you're not broke, but you're not rich. So you're trying to figure out how to take the little bit that you got and double it. You know what I mean? So it's like, In that, we were just trying to figure out how to express that and how to get that kind of a point across, you know, in a different way, in a way that would be more refreshing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely understand. So yeah. Why I got you right there, when you go to the Make Away track, which is, that's your solo track that you on the album with, right?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Think so. Yeah. So talk to me about Make Away.
you at the front
of the classroom right now. You ain't gotta raise your hand.
I always hated sitting in the front too.
Hey, you up here today?
But that song is really kind of self-explanatory. Just because it was like the mindset I was in. You know, I'll put it like this. It's funny because when you're in the midst of making an album, like life don't stop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's like while we were making this, you know, we were all individually in as a group dealing with shit, you know, going through shit, whatever the case may be. So at that time when I was when we had decided that, you know, me and Dre were going to have each a solo song, we were, you know, figuring out what we were going to do as far as what we were going to write for each of our songs. At that time, I was dealing with some financial shit. So in my head, I just had it. I was like, man, I'm gonna make a way, even if I gotta let it spray type. Yeah. So
get it out the mud, man.
Gotta let it spray.
Yeah, because it was just like it for that song, it wasn't something I wasn't just trying to like record my own feelings. I was trying to express what I feel like a lot of people, you know, in our generation, in our age group are feeling right now, where it's like a lot of us, you know, we struggling, and a lot of us are trying to figure out how to make something shake. And a lot of us, you know, already making some, you know, making some shit move for ourselves. We're trying to figure out how to keep the ball rolling. So it's like, just in the midst of all of that, it's just, I'm trying to just really, I try to really capture that feeling of, you know, regardless of what I got to do to make sure that me and mine's eat, we gonna eat.
Gotcha. Yeah. I respect that. Well, Silky, I got to bring you up. I'm gonna bounce back around the track, but I got to hear your voice a little bit, Silky. Let's talk about the interlude.
Yes, sir. The interlude, so... All right, to dive a little bit deeper into it, interlude, and like I said before, I imagine like I was talking to the little homie, but
facts.
I wanted to make sure the interlude would be somewhat like timeless, if that makes sense, make it always relevant. Mm-hmm. That way, 2-3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, whatever the case may be, when people, like, you know, they checking out Andre Rashad, Levi's, you know, platinum tracks, they're like, oh, now let me go back and see where they came from. They can go back and hear the Silky's interlude. And like that interlude would still be relevant. So I wanted to leave like a real, you know, of course, positive, you know, soul touching message. So mm-hmm. that was the goal for Silky's interlude. Yes, sir.
Got you. That's fine. And you plan on doing the next getting on more tracks on the next tape y'all drop?
Hey man, the whole time I just might, no lie. Yes, sir.
So now I'm expecting to hear you on some next drops.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Most definitely.
My God. Yes, sir. So Andre and Levi, let's talk about real ghost shit. Because if you talk, you put that as your title on an album. You talking that shit. So. What's that shit you talking?
Ah, geez. You know what's crazy, bro? And before we get to real ghost shit, I gotta bring you back to Credit Score, because Credit Score influenced real ghost shit, and I'm gonna explain how.
Okay.
I'm not gonna say we wasn't pleased with Credit Score, but I'm gonna say this, shout out to Young Nap, because Credit Score, the original beat for Credit Score, it was a beat that me and this guy named Young Nap way back in 2018 made at Norfolk State. We had co-produced it together, he did the music, I did the drums. And we weren't quite satisfied with it at all. We weren't mm-hmm. satisfied with it. Jailbait hopped on it, and it just was so crazy to how he flipped it. And he made it the finished product. So that became Credit Score. And then, of course, you know, like Levi said, we broke. We want to discuss financial freedom in the Black community, and mm-hmm. we want to discuss how we shoot ourselves in the foot a lot of times with our finances. That's why I had lines like, you won't support your friends, but if you had to change, you would cop Dior. Because it's true. We won't build our own communities up. But in working on that, we released Credit Score, and we still have some questions. We was like, how can we bring some intensity to the project? Because Credit Score was so chill, now we need something hype.
Yeah.
Man, let me tell you, Jailbait played the beat for real ghost shit, and it was off to the races, bro.
is that how y'all came up with the name?
I'm telling you, we came up with the name just based off of
Just off the sound.
We was like, oh, this yeah. We finna spit some real ghost shit on this beat. And that's how we finna do it. But I'm telling you, bro, that's how it came to, bro. Because we wanted to pick the intensity about the Credit Score. And that was one of the first beats for the project he played for us after Credit Score. Well, honestly, he played it before Credit Score was out, but to us it was after, because we had already finished recording Credit Score, of course.
Got you. So Jailbait, come on back to the front of the classroom, man.
Yes, sir.
Cause they're giving all them positive and good vibes about your music, man. What you think when they got on your beat to spit on it? What you think about that?
Honestly, like, I think I can't imagine any artist doing more justice than what they did. Like, I look for, I don't know, I'm really selfish about who I get to get on my beats. I guess that's why I haven't produced from a lot of people's records, because I don't be.
Go ahead. You don't gotta be humble here.
He said you ain't gotta be humble here.
So I'm really proud of both of these artists, Levi and Andre, because I don't know. Like, I not only did I feel like they were worthy before we even started the project, but then the growth, you know, overall the whole project too. Like seeing both of them step out and expand their like. just their sound and like really, you know, I guess long story short, it was an honor to have them of all people to, you know, be on my beats.
Facts, facts. But they killed it. So you should appreciate them boys for that.
Yes, sir. That honestly, like a producer can be great, but like who are they without a fire artist to get on their beats? You know, exactly. no one's gonna hear it.
And spend the content y'all spend, I can understand why. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So which one of y'all who got the lowest lane? Like who y'all talking to in lowest lane? Y'all talking to somebody. I ain't just rapping in that one. Y'all talking to somebody.
So that was me. That was me. So backstory to lowest lane. So you know, I'm a nerd. Let's get this out of the way first. I'm a nerd. We grew up in a struggle, and you know what I'm saying? Niggas was following behind the wrong crowd for a certain amount of time, but at the same time, I had good grades. I was a nerd from day one.
Let me stop you right there before you go, because I wanted to tell you, so I got a bachelor's in science, and boom, 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 boom. You talk your shit, then you go back, you motherfucking ass me, boom, 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 you talk your shit, then you can carry on,
Word, bro. Look, and that's, I'm trying to get the best of both worlds, bro. I'm trying to tell people, like, you can be real and still be, you know what I'm saying, and still do your thing, but so to answer your question about Lowe's Lane, me being a nerd, I always wanted to write a concept song. And when Jailbait gave me the beat, I was like, yo, the beat is crazy, but it you know how some beats are busy, but busy in a good way? Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The beat was so busy, I couldn't find anything to write to it at first. So I probably sat on that beat for a good 2 months, bro. And when I came back to it, I had a concept. By then, you know, Snyder's Cut, a Batman, a Justice League had just dropped. So I was like, my concept was, what if I actually wrote a song about the love story between Bruce Wayne and Lois Lane? But it just so happened, of course, you know, I had to throw some personal stuff in there. So I ain't going to say her name. All these niggas in the room know who I'm talking about. So y'all about to fall out.
And you saw his voice tense up on that joint.
Yes, sir. I ain't gonna say her name, but it was a young lady. The first girlfriend I had when I was in college, me and her talked for a long time. She was like Lois Lane for me. And we kind of had, it was a situation where it didn't have the end, but it ended and that was the best at the time. So I'm low-key spitting that on Lois Lane too, if that makes sense.
Got you. I definitely understand. Now this probably my favorite track on the album, Successful or Not.
Yes, sir.
The message for me is crazy.
And it's crazy, bro.
The don't let them choose if you successful or not. That's a like a living proof for me. Like that's what I came up in. So when you say don't let nobody decide you being successful or not, you take that into your own hands. Like that's the best thing I could see with your message that you got across. Levi, talk to me about that, and then I'm gonna go down the line to all y'all, what y'all think about that track.
Yeah, I mean, overall, as far as you know, the overall track, it was just expressing that, you know, you define your own success, and whatever you see as a successful life to you is what you should go after, and not, you know, base it off of what you necessarily been taught or what you've seen or what you've been told. So I know, like, for me with my verse, what I tried to do is, I know, you know, for me, I have a bad habit of, you know, being stuck on my screw-ups and my failures more than my successes. So a lot of my verse was me just kind of expressing, you know, that I'm trying to be more present and more focused on the now instead of just, you know, focus on past failures and really, you know, there where I had talked about my aunt and how in the midst of me, you know, living life and doing what I gotta do, I lost track of her birthday. So, you know, I had said I bought an edible arrangement to apologize, but can't define the way my mind's arranged to always go inside while in the flow of life. So
that's fire. That's, hey, I know you know Wale in there, boy. Hey, I hear the poetry in that.
Thank you, man. But yeah, so like that was my way of saying, you know, I tried to make up for my failures or, you know, for my screw ups, but I understand where they come from, you know, that a lot of it is just me being too wrapped up in my own head and in my own past and in my own life to focus on the present. So that's why I ended my verse the way I did by, you know, defining what I saw as success, where, you know, it's me and my peoples, we all, you know, sitting at a dinner table, dripping in gold, you know, eating and reminiscing on the times niggas was struggling. And you know, that was just my way of kind of trying to bring it full circle and saying, not just, you know, to whoever's listening, but to myself, you know, regardless of your failures and regardless of whatever, you know, choices you made, whether they were good or bad, you know, that doesn't define your success, and you shouldn't let that define your success either.
That's facts. That's facts. Hey, that's a great concept, bro, to end that song with, bro.
Thanks.
I definitely feel more now that I heard you say that part. It's shit. It's probably my favorite track on the whole album.
Yes, sir. Talk to you, bro. It might not be number two.
For sure.
Drake, yes, give me a little piece about Successful Not on Your Behalf.
Oh, geez, bro. All right, so I ain't trying to get too spiritual, but I grew up in a biblical background.
Ain't
so,
nothing wrong with that thing we all did.
Yes, sir. Facts, bro. Facts. You know, all praise to the Most High, bro. Successful Not was probably my favorite track when it comes to inspiration outside of PTSD. And the reason I say that is because we were struggling to write a hook for that one only because we knew we couldn't write just anything. Hooks, when you hit a beat, you're like, all right, nigga, this important. You know what I'm saying? So, but what's so crazy, bro, the hook's so crazy, bro. I posted the hook on Facebook earlier today, bro. My pastor shared it and put a scripture over it. And I don't even think he realizes it's the hook to our song. But it just like, it just let me know how much the hook resonates with people. It just let me know how serious it is. And for me, when we wrote the hook and when we was brainstorming on it, what I was trying to identify was with modern society or this world identifies as success, the Most High doesn't. You know what I'm saying? So why am I letting others choose in this society if I'm successful or not? When the only one I really got an answer to is him. And you know what I'm saying? Anybody else that I choose as a mentor, you know, my father, my mother, things of that sort. But I answer to the Most High at the end of the day. So I define my success by that. As long as I pleased him, fulfilled those laws and commandments, and as long as I did my best to achieve my goals, I feel like I'm successful. And I think I covered that in my verse when I was like, imagine self-reflecting, business still progressing. And then I move forward to say, imagine looking forward, not back. Because I think the mistake we make is it's important to know your history, but you can become a slave to your history too. To the point where you constantly repeat it. We don't break these generational curses. So, I ain't gonna make it too churchy, but long story short, bro, for me, that was one of the more spiritual tracks because for me, I wasn't defining success by the worldly standard. I was just defining success by the way I thought I pleased the Most High and how many people I think this music can touch. You know what I'm saying? Facts, by your own standards. Facts.
As you should. And so Jailbait, when you see now that you heard him say this about this track, I'm pretty sure y'all all discussed this together. When they said what they was gonna do on their verse, what they was gonna talk about on their verse, how did you feel with this beat touching their verses?
And, you know, honestly, and this almost kind of goes back to the last question you asked me about how it feels to have them like on my beats. If it wasn't for what they came up with for this beat, I probably would have thrown that beat away because I wasn't feeling it as much as they were.
And bro, this man is crazy. The beat was retarded.
He a hard critic on himself. I peeped that.
Yeah. And honestly, like, if it wasn't for what they did over that beat, that's very well what would have happened. But it's one of my favorite songs, too, looking back at it, just because it's like, wow, like, a beat that I didn't care for became this crazy song. But I also love how inspirational, like, the chorus is. Like, I feel like anyone who's trying to come up and do better for themselves can relate to it. And it makes it potentially like one of the most powerful songs on the album just for that reason.
Gotcha. And it kind of relates to me. Not to throw me in the concept of it, but it's like you said, depending on bringing success to yourself, being successful for yourself and not for others. Like, that's the point I've been going through for like the last 3 years. So to hear that track, it's like, oh yeah, I can relate to this. And Dre, I probably agree with you on the spiritual side because my mom had me in church 7 days a week. You in the choir, you in the usher, you in sub. And Tyle, Jailbait probably could tell you every day I'm singing at work like I really get sing, you know,
bro, because it's in you, bro. It's in you, bro. I'm telling you, bro, it's in you. A lot of people don't give it enough credit. Now, I will say, you may not agree with everything some of the First Day churches teach or whatever, but one thing they really instilled was that spirit in you. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
And I'm telling you, bro, you got it. I mean, I knew you had it when I first met you, but I'm telling you, bro, you got it. And I'm grateful that you can relate to anything we released. Exactly. Honestly, true.
I mean, like, top to bottom, just listening to what y'all said. Like I said, I pull the words apart and see how they can relate to me. Because if it can't, then what the fuck am I listening to it for? Now,
come on, now, say it again for the people in the back, bro.
Yeah, when I go to the club, play me some goddamn Dolph or some shit like that. Because I'm probably tipsy at this point. So let's get through the club night. So I'm here with y'all, man. I'm here with y'all. So we're gonna jump right into the PTSD track since you were talking about that in your Successful or Not track.
Oh geez, who gonna go first with PTSD?
You first.
I'm first. Oh geez. All right, bro. I'm about to take us way somewhere I shouldn't even take us. But for me, PTSD was a little bit deep because we couldn't. That's my dog in the background. She got something to say, bro. But no, so for PTSD, it was huge for me because first off, that's a very unorthodox hip hop beat. Like, if you heard that instrumental by itself, you might confuse it for some sort of EDM. I don't know. I mean, that's Jailbait is way into, you know, he can hear a beat and tell you the genre off back. But for me, that was a very unorthodox hip hop beat. But I wanted people to fall in love with it though. And the reason being, one, that bass line was amazing. The bass line he laid was ridiculous. I fell in love with it from day one. Two, the reason we got inspired to name it PTSD for me was I work in brain health as far as one of my certifications, bro. I'm serious about brain health. So I've been around a lot of military veterans with PTSD. I've been around a lot of people with mental, not to put your business out, but just from conversations with you, I know you have too. You know what I'm saying? And we can relate on that. So for me, I think a lot of people don't realize growing up in these Black communities where some of these generational curses are still going, where, you know, you have murder, you have our brothers hating on each other, killing each other. You have PTSD from that. And people don't realize it can work that way. Like, we see Afghanistan as a war zone. No, my nigga, downtown Newport News, Norfolk and Richmond, that's a war zone. And people don't realize that. And sadly enough, for real, bro, sadly enough, it is. I mean, we can turn on the news right now and countless people probably died today, and that's not okay. So for me and for I can say for us, naming that PTSD was kind of a statement, making it clear that, yo, PTSD is real in more than just certain settings. You know what I'm saying?
Facts.
PTSD is
it can happen everywhere.
Bro, it can happen in a lot of different settings, and we need to deal with it properly. So I think the first part of that song was kind of describing the PTSD. And I think the second part of the song was more so walking towards the solution. We didn't come to the final solution, but I will tell you that's gonna be on Two Goes Three. But what I can say is that song was huge for me because we covered a lot of what we grew up dealing with, and the fact that Jailbait gave us that unorthodox beat to do it on was beautiful for me. Because now you got more than one reason to listen to it. Besides, you know, the storyline, you got the crazy production, bro. But I'm talking too much. Levi, it's on you, bro. I'm talking too much.
Yeah, nah, you good, bro. Oh, this is why I brought y'all on, bro. This is exactly why I brought you on, man. Get the people what they want to hear.
Yes, sir.
Talk to me, Levi.
Yeah. So for me, PTSD was something more personal. Honestly, I would say it's like my verses on there are some of my most personal on the tape, just because I really just share like my own PTSD just from, you know, experiencing what I've experienced and seeing what I've seen, you know, coming up, you know, in Hampton, coming up off of Shell Road. It's like, you know, where I stayed, we weren't deep enough in there that, you know, we had to, you know, fully worry about bullets coming through the house or anything like that at any point in time. But we were still close enough that all I had to do was just, you know, turn and like look out my window from where I was, you know, where my room was in my grandma's house. And I could just look down the street and I could always just down the street hear gunshots, hear sirens, hear someone screaming, hear someone crying. Like, I used to go to sleep to that shit to the point. And it's like, it was to the point where I remember when we had moved from the 75 and we were living in Franklin County, about like 4 hours and some change from here, you know, out there. That's the sticks. So it's dead quiet at night. And I remember
shit was different, wasn't it?
Yeah, like I remember like being out there, and I remember for like the first couple weeks, like as a kid, I had a hard time sleeping because it was just so quiet, and I was so used to seeing red and blue flashing lights and hearing gunshots, hearing sirens, that to like go to bed at night and you just see the stars and you don't hear nothing but maybe some animals, like it just, it fucked my head up.
Oh yeah, it definitely would.
Yeah, so it was just like, it was like in just in conversation that we had kind of had, you know, talking about PTSD, I realized, damn, I kind of had some of my own just from, you know, just explaining those
things that I've seen. I was legit ready to say that. I was like, motherfuckers really got PTSD when they think about it.
Dead ass. Dead ass.
Dead ass, bro. That's
and it's a line. It's a line I have in my verse where I was saying how, you know, if you're from where I'm from, you prepare for this shit. Like, every day, you know, when niggas press you, like, where you stay. And it's like, when I had wrote that line at first, I was thinking, man, people are going to be thinking I'm, like, hyperbolizing this shit or thinking I'm trying to make this shit sound like we live in out west in California or some shit. But it's like, when I thought about it, I was like, yo, that shit really used to happen. Because, like, I remember in middle school and in high school, like, if niggas didn't or if certain niggas didn't know me, and they'd be like, yo, you cool people, whatever, whatever, where you from? And I'd be like, I'm from Hampton. And niggas be like, what part? I remember deep breath and just be like, because anytime I would tell something from Shell Road, even though I won't even like, you know, out there doing no wild shit. Yeah, just because I'm from there and I was in the mix still, you know, the reaction could go either way, where either they just be like, oh, you one of them niggas, and yeah, they laugh about
the stereotypes.
It. Yeah. And so it can either be like that, or it's been a couple times where I bumped into niggas that real life had, you know, real beef with niggas from Shell Road. And since I mentioned that, they thought I was down with them. And I'm like, yo, I just know them niggas. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was just, yeah, that I feel like that's really like my most personal verse on there, because I just really just flat out laid out everything that, you know, I've kind of experienced and seen coming up, you know, as a kid. Because I think, you know, it's something that we all, not even, you know, people just in this area, but I think all Black people can relate to. And unfortunately, you know, because of the society we live in and because of how we've been conditioned and what we have been forced to endure for these last couple hundred years plus, you know, it's all conditioned us to where, you know, there's nowhere you can go where you don't meet a Black person that is in some way or another a proponent or a victim of violence. You know what I mean? Like, everybody, damn near everybody got dead homies. Everybody got, you know, loved ones that they lost to this shit, you know, if they haven't done something themselves. So it's really just, you know, not just me expressing my own personal trauma, but trying to express, you know, the trauma of a lot of people that have lived through the same shit and witnessed the same shit that I've experienced, or even worse.
That's facts. So, Silky, come on back to the front of the classroom, because you've been quiet since I talked to you.
Yes, sir.
So when you sat back and you listened to, I'm going to get to a prayer after this, but when you sat back and went through 1 through 10, listened to the album, what was your critique to those guys? How did you let them know how you thought about the album?
So when I listened to it, 1 through 10, the first time, third, fourth, fifth time around, I kept coming to the same conclusion. I mean, of course, I was around for the, you know, the creation of it all, but still, after it all dropped, I listened to it like with a fresh pair of ears, and like, besides the fact that I was beyond proud of these men, it just let me know, like, I really was able to like see just how individually talented each one of these guys are, like. Just listen, like how they was breaking down their bars for PTSD, for successful or not, and just like, you know, just those two songs alone was crazy. But like when you look at the energy they brought on Alfredo Sauce, when you look at how JLB Jesus, like he explained how he came up with the process for making Alfredo Sauce, for making, like, bro, when he the night he made PTSD, He added the ending to it. Bro, we was on, like, we was in a whole different world. Like, I remember
that. Like, out-of-body experience.
Yeah, that's hard. That's hard.
It's crazy.
When
like,
that second part came in, it became a different song.
You feel me? It's like, so listening to
it became a different song.
Exactly. It really did, though. Like, it took it to a whole nother level. And, like, listen to the whole project from 1 to 10, it just, like, it's really... I hate this. You know that cliche saying is like a work of art. Like it really is. Like it's just. I had to sit back and just really soak it all in. Like dang, this is really a work of art.
Hey man, y'all boys should be proud of that man. That's from your dog. Your dog gonna keep it real with you.
Yes, yeah, sir.
100%.
That's facts. That's facts.
We only gonna keep it real with you. So yes, let's talk about this a prayer track because y'all ended the album with this, and I feel like it was big that y'all did that because the way y'all transitioned through the songs was perfect. But when you get the when you hit Lord's Lane and then you hit Successful or Not, then you got Silky coming with the interlude, then you end it with PTSD and a prayer. Like that's a fucking powerful way to end the album. Like mm-hmm. all those tracks mean something. Like every track on here means something. But when you get down to those the nitty gritty of the four, like am I gonna stop listening to it at this point? It's like no, nah, hell no. Nah. I want to hear what they got to say on the next one.
Yes, sir.
So when I got to a prayer, I was like, all right. So I know Dre background with church at. My boy was in the choir. My boy did Some for Obama. Let me put that out there. Shout out to yeah, yeah. Jail Big told me all that. It's crazy. It's
I was
crazy.
About to say, well, how you find out I was sung for the president?
Hey, because when I listened to the album, I was like, Jail Big, Jesus got to be you when I got to work. It got to be you. he gave me a little rundown. I was like, how the hell your name Jail Big Jesus? And you got your demeanor when I met you. It's like, where the Jail Bay at? I can see more Jesus than anything.
Hey, bro. Hey, I'm being real with you, bro. And I'll let him tell it, bro. But Tyler got multiple names with us. My fault. Jail Bay got multiple names with us. And I feel like it depends on the type of track he's making for us. Like he sometimes like he so the beat tag Jesus Take the Wheel on Real Goat Shit. I love that so much because it's almost like and Jail Bay broke this down. It's almost like he's really taking the wheel. Like he driving, we shooting. He's like, all right, bro, take the wheel. Give me the mic. It's over for niggas. And it's like he's so good at that, bro. Like just making space for artists. That's something he's excellent at. Like there's a lot of beats I've heard where producers they might do way too much, and it doesn't leave the space for the artist because like you said, you need a good artist and with a good beat put together, but I've heard some amazing beats where it was better than the artist, and I don't want to hear the song again unless I'm listening to the beat. And I think one thing Jail Bay does is he makes these amazing beats that fits the artist. You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. that leaves space for the artist. And I said all that to say that's what a prayer was. A prayer was one of the very first beats we heard, and right hand up, everybody can vouch. We decided that was gonna be the outro from day one. That was like the first and second
sense.
Beat we heard.
It makes sense
for real. We was like, all right, that's the outro. Leave it alone. We left it alone for 6 months, bro. Like,
so y'all ain't did nothing with this joint since y'all first made it?
Bro, because when he made it, we was like, oh, it's the outro. We're gonna leave it. And we left it for about 6 months, bro.
It is.
Because I felt like it was poetic because we was gonna go through so much. I wanted the outro to be extremely relevant by the time it was recorded. And it just worked out. The workflow of everything just worked out, especially with him watching all six seasons of Sopranos. It just, you know, it just worked out. So my perspective of a prayer, you hear me venting a little bit in the first part. Of course, I'm giving all praises to the Most High. I start off with that, but I vent a little bit about how since, and this is a personal, my last album did pretty well, and I'm grateful for that. But I've noticed the change in some people's behavior in my life since then. And I'm talking to the point where cousins and people that I love, now I'm simply a Cash App request to them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I see that changing because I'm addressing some of those issues, and it's still all love. And I don't think is on purpose, but I think when people assume you're making a certain amount of money off of music that you're not, they treat you different. And I think when the last album touched a million streams, I started to notice some of my friends and family treat me different. I started to notice there were certain women I went to college with who I shot my shot with back then. The shot didn't go in. All of a sudden on Instagram, we have a conversation.
Oh, you can't miss.
Word. So I said all that to say a prayer reflected on a lot of that, but it also reflected on the fact that I'm still in a struggle. I still got a reason to fight.
I'm gonna stay hungry. And then of course I just outlined some things like missing my pops, wishing my father was here to see some of the success. Some of the things my mom and my sister go through, them being my, you know, the queens of my life and stuff. So I just want a prayer was kind of a synopsis of everything we was going through the past couple of years, but also just for me, it was a synopsis of how I see a lot of times they say the money changes people. And we ain't got the money yet, people changing. So,
they go through you with the process. As soon as you facts. Start doing something, they doing shit change.
Facts. Mm-hmm. So for me that's what a prayer touched. And then of course it touched the name. Because a prayer is the only way we got to the end of this shit. Word, bro.
Levi, talk to me, Levi.
For a prayer, I really just tried to give like a really quick synopsis in a way, but for the most part, I really just wanted to like just say some real shit on it. From the beginning, you know, when I say I prayed for this moment for 40 days and 40 nights, told myself if I do it, that I would do it right, because too many been playing it loose, so I'm gonna keep it tight and put my people out in the dark to show them all the light. That was my way of saying like literally I've been. Like, for background context, you know, me and Dre have been trying to make music and work on music since we were, like, 12, 13 years old. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, a lot of the times, you know, shit didn't really work out because, you know, at the time we might not have had the right resources or had the right opportunity. And then as we started performing, you know, especially when I started performing more with my poetry, I tried to, you know, make more opportunities to bring Dre with me because... you know, with his singing and, you know, with his rapping and everything, I was like, man, like, the both of us are too talented for it to just be me doing all these shows. Like, fuck that. So it's like, I gotta bring my brother with me one way or another. So, and from all of that, you know, it was just a lot of struggle getting to this point now to where we're able to finally be able to make music on a consistent basis. You know what I mean? So yeah. It was... My verse was really just kind of speaking on that and how on, you know, how long we've been waiting to get to this point and what we were trying to do this whole time, you know, by bringing our people out the dark to show them the light. And just the rest of it from there was just me just saying some real shit, you know. That was really it. Yeah, just because with the beat and just like Dre said, we have been sitting on it for 6 months and Dre had, you know, he had, you know, mentioned it before I did at the time. He's like, yo, we want to make this the outro. So it's just like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do on this, but I just know I don't want to just flex on here. I want to say some real shit and I want to say some shit that's going to actually stick with people and, you know, make people think, you know what I mean? So that was really just the main thing for me.
Got you. Top to bottom. Great album, fellas. Real shit.
Thank you, sir.
I'm thankful to have you guys join because this is season two of my pod. So
Congratulations.
I started off with you guys. So I'm gonna keep pushing along on my AAU season over with. So it's gonna be more podcasts coming from me. And right now we still working on a location for this visual, but my girl let me decide that I can make the room a podcast room. So I'm about to get the dining table up out there.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And, bro, I got to give you your flowers, bro. I got to give you your flowers because I know you a DIY nigga. Let's do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? I think it's DIY. DIY anyway. Yeah. It don't even matter. DIY. But, do it. But I said all that to say this, bro. I shout out, give you your flowers too, because and Jeb didn't understand this. Ain't no engineer in our group. It's us. Now, of course, I've been engineering for years, but I'm more of a singer by trade. I learned engineering because we had nobody else to. And Jeb is very instrumental in engineering also. Me and him basically engineer all the records together. And mm-hmm. I'm giving you your flowers because me and you had a conversation about how you in the same situation. You mixing this down, you mixing it down yourself. And I think a lot of people who receive the art, they don't understand the time and the effort and the work it takes to produce the art, create the art, engineer the art, go through the DSPs, the digital service providers, to release the art.
Facts.
And really make this art available so y'all can receive it and then give us critiques. I was on Twitter talking to some guys earlier about the way I mixed it. And I just was telling them, the struggle when you don't have people on your team, like a label. I'll just say a label. The struggle when you don't have a label with that PR machine behind you. When you don't have a designated engineer. Like, you have people wearing multiple hats, and that's why I got to give you your flowers. I got to give Jailbait his flowers, give Silky his flowers. Silky was not only an artist, he was an A&R. Levi was not only an artist, he was a co-producer. Mm-hmm. I was not only an artist, I'm co-producing, I'm engineering. Jailbait was the engineer, co-producer, artist. You know what I'm saying? So we got people wearing multiple hats.
Now we got
Jailbait on the track. Bro, that's in the works. Don't worry. He's going to drop
something. Okay.
Look, I'm on his head top. He's going
to
drop.
We're gonna get you out there, Shell. You wanna play the background, we're gonna bring you to the front of the class.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna let him speak for himself, but he's gonna drop.
Yes, sir. Album will come eventually.
Yeah,
okay.
This was a necessary, like, and actually, like, this was a huge personal milestone for me to, like, I had to, like, prove to myself, oh, I can produce a record. Like, not just a song, but like an album. Mm-hmm. And I'm grateful to have, like, this team around me to do it, because I don't know if it'd be possible without them.
Man, y'all jail. Just from this one conversation with all y'all together, it's my first time talking to you, Silky. My first time talking to you, Levi. But y'all jail real heavy. And like I said, again, from top to bottom, like, y'all smoke this. And getting to hear y'all story behind each track. Matter of fact, I forgot a track, and I'm sorry for that. I'm not going to forget it either. We're gonna talk about Division, and then I'll get back to that.
My bad. Oh geez, what you want to know about Division
before I want to know everything about. I want to know about every track on here. That's why I went back to get that one in.
All right. You want to go first, Levi?
Yeah, I'll go first. All right. So, man, Division. It's so much you can say about that, because it is. One of all of our personal favorites.
Yeah, you gave me 1 minute synopsis.
So yeah,
I'm surprised y'all ain't jumped me when I skipped that joint. Y'all just let me keep going.
I'm be real with you, bro. I was gonna let it rock, cause I'm gonna tell you why. I'm gonna let Levi talk first. I'm gonna tell you why.
Go ahead. Let's hear it, Levi.
But yeah, I mean, as far as the breakdown, you know, with the hook, for the most part, I had actually wrote the hook, but I had Dre and Jailbait Jesus, you know, kind of helped me out with it, just to make sure that it would flow, just because personally me and the hooks are but, you know, I've been told otherwise. So I was like, I just wanted a second opinion on it, but I was like, you know, if I write the hook, I'm not singing that shit. So that's why Dre is the one who had to sing the hook. I'm not about to kill it.
You know what's so fucking funny?
Let the quiet boy sing.
You know, so you know what's so fucking funny, bro? This girl, I used to play drums for her father, because he was a singer. It was a male quartet group, and you know, of course, like I said, I grew up a church musician, always singing and playing the drums in church. And this girl hit me up today, and she was like, I listened to the whole album 3 times. She said, why you ain't let Levi get no hooks? And I was like, don't do me like that. I said, look, don't disrespect me. I was telling her, I was like, Levi is he is a magician with the pen. And when it comes to hooks, there was hooks that we wrote together, but Levi just was like, bro, you the choir boy. He said, go ahead and sing that hook.
Hey, smart man, Levi.
Word.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm not about to, it don't matter how good I write a hook, I can't sing. So it's like,
yeah.
I told him it's like the OVO camp, like Drake get all the hooks. Let everybody sing, bro.
Word,
bro. But
I'm not doing it.
But now, as far as Division, bro, I'm kind of gonna let Silky speak on this. I ain't trying to drop too many gems, because you got to come to Rap Genius for that.
Okay.
But not for real, but it's on Rap Genius. Shout out to Rap Genius for verifying this. But
yeah. Oh,
okay.
Word, bro, it's crazy.
For all your lyric needs for the tape, you can go to Rap Genius for all 10 songs indubitably,
and we actually got to finish 12. But but yeah, bro. Shout out to Rap Genius for verifying this. I'm not gonna drop too many gems on Division, but the only thing I can say is How can I word this?
You better word it right, because they're going to come for your
head. They're going to come for my head top, bro. I ain't trying to get canceled before we get started.
That's facts.
I wrote half a division about my life, and I wrote half about a brother of mine's life. That's what I'll say. And it was very personal for me because, like, you know how, like, you know, Coop, you're a real brother. And me and you had conversations outside of this. So, you know, when you got love with somebody and you see what they're going through, you feel like you're going through it to a certain extent. Yeah. And you can feel it. So when I wrote those verses, I sat down and I asked myself, how could I do my best to, I don't want to use the word channel, but how can I do my best to embody what my bro was feeling and put that into a song? Mm-hmm. So the first verse was a true story about my life. The first verse, when I was talking about I seen a shorty and fell in love too fast.
Yeah.
That led into that lowest lane, you feel me?
Like, you see the transition?
Yes, sir. Transition? The second verse was more a show about my people's life. And the reason I'm passing Silky to Mike is because he was able to witness a lot of this. He was able to witness it, and he was able to see, you know, he was able to see, like, how we was able to try to tell somebody else's story for them without overstepping or even disrespecting. Because it's pretty hard balance. I'll use Kendrick as an example. I listened to that song Sing About Me like 30 times before I wrote my verse, because Kendrick was telling somebody else's story, and he even mentioned in the song how they didn't want him to tell the story. So that was huge for me when I listened to that song, because it just let me know there's a proper way to do it, where you execute it, where you still you get the message out so people understand what they need to understand, but you still have a line that you walk respectfully. It's hard to explain, but I'm gonna pass the sticks.
And then, like,
he's gonna pass the sticks.
Before we pass it to Silky, I'll kind of just expound on mine, because I kind of really didn't do it either. But yeah, for my first verse, it was basically the same wave as Dre, where I explained a personal situation that I went through mm-hmm. at one point in time not long ago. And for my second verse, I don't think I ever really explained it to anybody. For the second verse, I was really the same thing as Dre again, where I was really just trying to explain the notion of a friend of mine, you know, that was going through a breakup, or that went through a breakup. So yeah, that was my way of kind of expressing that notion that, you know, the notion that I had at the time when I was going through my situation, and the notion that I felt like he was, you know, going to start to have after he started, you know, healing up from his situation and everything.
I'm about to plug one of Levi's old songs right quick, because y'all not going to understand Levi's verses on Division until you hear a song called Truth Is by Levi.
Say it again. What's the name of it?
It's called Truth Is. Truth okay. Is.
It's on Spotify?
Yeah, yeah, it's on everything. Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes, sir.
Okay.
It's actually part of a two-pack I dropped the end of last year. Yeah, so that's also on Spotify.
Anyway. I high-key felt like, and even just being in the studio, trying to receive the art as a fan almost, or as a supporter, I kind of felt like Levi's versus on Division was part two for Truth Is. Now, Coop, you a legend too, so you, when you listen to it, you tell me what you thought. You feel me? But but that's what I felt about Levi's versus. When I heard Truth Is, I was like, this Division is part two for that, and it was fire. It was fire. But I'm going to go ahead and pass the sticks. Jail Bait, you know, I'm still, y'all got something to say about Division?
It's worth mentioning on Truth Is that Dre did the hook on that one as well.
It's worth mentioning.
I was gonna leave it alone.
Hey, one from one quiet boy to another, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, look, I gotta hear you singing, bro. When you just walking around singing, I know Jail Bait be hearing it. That's probably just.
I only
sing with the songs because I want to sound like the person singing the song. I'm always shower singing. That's all.
Yeah, sir. I'm gonna turn on some. I'm gonna turn on some BB and CC, and I'm trying to hear you.
I might got a little in me still.
Yes, sir. It's all you, sir.
Talk to me, Silky.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That second verse Andre Rashad was talking about, man. I witnessed, you know, I witnessed the trials that brother went through, and let me tell you, man, Andre Rashad is so lyrically crazy. He lit. like he legit took some of that man's words verbatim and added them to the song. Not in a disrespectful manner, but it's just like he really what he aimed for, he really hit the mark. Like he really channeled what that man was feeling. He took his words, added it to the verse. He's like, bro, he didn't tell half of what went on, but he still told like a lot of what went on without, you know, put too much out there. Like Andre Rashad is crazy with the bars. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, look, that made me think about what he said with the Kendrick verse when he sat down and listened to that song. Now you really understand that fully.
Yes, sir. Exactly. And I gotta talk about Joe Bates' like production on this song, geez. Bro.
Uh huh.
Sir. I go back to the night we was all in the studio, and he was like, "You know what? I'm gonna switch it up a little bit." And like he was over there, and he has a spot in the studio he go to where he start cooking up.
That man sitting in the top right corner of the studio to himself.
Yes, sir. Put the headphones in, he go crazy. I was like, "Yes, this man Joe Bates cooking something up." So
put that camera on that man.
Yes, exactly. We got to, though. You're right. We really got to. It's funny. I was telling him about that, too. We got to put random cameras around the studio. But Joe Big, like, when he first, I think, did we put it through the speakers first? Or did you play from the laptop first? I don't remember.
It was through the speakers.
It's like the switch up. You know, I don't know. You listen to it in a car. You know how it just, like, randomly switches, like, the whole vibe switches. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like when that first happened, bro, we all went crazy. It was like, dang, like Joe Bates really snapped on this beat. And then to have Andre and Levi hop up here and go crazy with the lyrics, it was complete.
I said, oh, yeah.
It was complete.
it's a complete project. It's a complete project, man.
Yeah.
You ain't outside looking in. You was the A&R.
Like, yes, sir.
No facts.
Y'all basically he's co-produced. Y'all basically checked each bar, so y'all was right there through the whole process. So
yeah.
All y'all opinions, it's facts because all of it added up, and you can see that y'all all was on the same page.
Yes,
facts.
Sir. Yes,
and
sir.
I gotta shout out RJ Banks, bro. Only because once again, Joe Bates make it. This nigga is crazy, bro. Division, the first part of Division was another beat that me and RJ co-produced back in 2019. I had beats that I hadn't even touched because I couldn't see myself on them. Bro, when I passed them to Joe Bates, I don't know what it is, bro. After he touches it, I finally can write to it.
Yeah.
And that's what it was, bro. It's like, bro, touched it. Bro, and bro, he touched it quick. Bro touched it for like 2 hours and was like, all right, bro, I got something. And we like, word?
Wow. Fact.
He's a living embodiment of one man's trash is another man's treasure. I promise.
You know what's crazy, bro? Never mind, bro. I'm done.
You don't want to give it up to us all. We're gonna have to have part two when you drop the next album, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, absolutely, bro. Look, we gotta get here more often, bro. Just show you some love, bro.
I definitely want to sit in through y'all process shit. I live out here in Newport News. I've been out here about 4 years. I've been living in the area. You've been solid since I met you. Tyler been solid since I met him. So I already know y'all Silky and Levi solid as well.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And let me give you some more flowers, bro. I was listening in on some of your old episodes, bro. Your podcast. I'm going to tell you, bro. I like when you get political, bro, because you keep it 100. Keep doing that.
Got to, bro. It's only right, bro. I can only keep it real with you.
Yeah.
Only keep it real with you. Like you said, if it's trash, let me know. I said, oh, I'm damn sure gonna let you know. I can't say that about none of the album, man. This shit is fire. So good. I appreciate y'all boys for joining me. I want y'all to plug the people in so we can know y'all networks, where we can find you at, and y'all can go one by one and just let the people know.
Well, I just made an Instagram for my to promote my music production. It's _jesus.take.the.wheel_.
Yeah, I'm gonna type that up in when I make the fucking flow.
Yeah.
So everybody go ahead, their phones try to switch screens to get back to that long.
Where is it? Like, he said Jesus with the dot, with the underscore, with the dot, that, with the underscore dot. With the...
All of them looking for an at symbol now.
Word.
But go ahead.
My Instagram is all lowercase silky underscore Jay Johnson.
Yeah. Levi again. My Twitter is all caps Levi underscore Heron 7. Heron isn't capitalized. It's not all caps. Instagram is Levi underscore Heron. All lower caps. You can find me on Apple Music. If you look up Levi Heron, you'll see Two Ghosts 2 up there. You'll see the 2-pack I dropped last year, Shot at Love, that got Old Bones, and it has Truth Is that we talked about up there. You can find me on Spotify, Levi Heron. Yeah, man. Just, yeah. Type it in, you'll find me.
And Quiet Boy, talk to
me. Yes, sir, bro. I'm lazy, bro. So all my stuff is the same, bro. It's at Andre Rashad. AUNDREARASHAD. The name even rhyme, bro. Andre Rashad. No underscores. It's just at Andre Rashad. And honestly, truly, bro. You can type it in Instagram, Twitter, Google, anywhere, bro. And all my stuff will pop up. I try to keep everything linked up. So. If you get me on one thing, you got me on everything. So you get me on Spotify, you'll get me on everything else if you got me on Spotify. And I follow back on Spotify, too. So if you follow my page, I'm going to follow you back. So
That's love. You got to do it. That's how you get that support.
Yes, sir.
And I'm going to plug my guys in. I'm going to plug the Truly Us media team in, man. This was assembled by a couple guys that I played ball with. They brought me on. They said, cool, we want you to do your podcast. At first, for me, it was like, man, I don't want to do no podcast. And that's, y'all, if you listen to a previous podcast, you like, hold on. You actually do talk. I do talk. So
yes, sir.
So I was good for me to create this platform, Truly Coop Style Podcast. So it really helped. It helped get a lot of people out. And I got a lot of segments that I do, little series that I do. So I want to have y'all guys on here again. And So I also want to shout out the Pump Faking Podcast. That's our sports podcast. You hear Stephen A. where we got Sean Perman and Junie. Junie got also, so those probably one of the smartest guys I know. And when it comes to them sports, them boys be on it. I get on their pods just to have a good time with them. And I'm a Philly fan, so me and Junie get to jump on the Redskins fan ass a lot.
Oh, boy.
You can check our IGs and Twitters out. Before I go there, I got to shout out my AAU team, which is first year of Truly Us AAU. And I also started a Truly Us Adult League basketball team for my dogs that don't hoop no more. So it's a lot of plugs right there. That's a lot of plugs. But for our main IGs, you can find us. We're going to post this on IG. It's going to be at Truly Us Media on IG. And if you want to check out my young boys, it's Truly Us underscore AAU. And our Twitter for our AAU is Truly Us AAU, just straight across. And y'all boys follow me too. I'm going to be tagging y'all when I get all y'all information from y'all. But
for sure.
You can find me on IG at Coopstar 804. And you can find me on Twitter at underscore Coopstar underscore. And
yes, sir.
I'm active on all my social media, so y'all check us out, man.
Likewise.
Yes, sir. Again, I want to thank y'all for taking the time out to join my pod tonight, fellas. I'm looking forward to the next project, and I'm going to continue to listen to this project. Again, I want to thank y'all for coming on, and y'all boys have a good night.
Appreciate you letting us come on, man. Yes, sir.
The people need to hear who behind this music, man, so it won't number love for me, man. I love having this conversation, bro. I told Tyler Jail Big today that it's going to be more of an interview conversation. So y'all boys get ready to sit back, man. I just appreciate y'all for joining me and taking the time out with me.
Yes, sir.
Likewise, Coop, man. Look, it's all love, bro. We're going to support you forever. So I appreciate you, bro.
Y'all boys be safe, man. Y'all keep being great, man. Making great music, man.
Yes,
sir. Here with y'all.
Yes, sir. Be safe, bro.
You too.
Yes, sir. You too, man.